Well, here we are, Friday morning.
Friday morning before a busy weekend, too. Man, so much going on in the province, including the Rider game tomorrow, which means green and white prognostications happening at noon today on the program. I know there's lots of loyal listeners and players of that, and that'll be coming up closer to lunch. Thanks again to Pierre Poilievre, leader of the Conservative Party, for popping into studio. Number of people texting in, weighing in on some of the things they heard from the Conservative leader. Of course, he's 3 days away from that by-election. Monday that happens in Alberta. Pretty confident that it is going to be a strong majority for the Conservatives there. And given the fact that he's spending some time in Saskatchewan right now, I'm guessing he's confident at that as well. I mentioned this earlier. If you missed the interview, of course, you can always catch it on our website or wherever you grab your podcasts. So there's lots going on. Today, of course, is a big day. It is the meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. This meeting came together fairly quickly. Maybe I'll even use the word hastily arranged, because summits in the past between the United States and Russia usually are months in the making. There's logistics to be planned out. Up until about a week and a half ago, they weren't even sure where in Alaska they were going to meet. So there was a lot of last minute work that went into putting together today's meeting. Now, what's going to happen? How historic is this? Is it symbolic? Is it actually a step towards peace? Can you get a step towards peace without having Ukraine at the table? Trump is already saying he's expecting there will be a follow-up meeting to this. In order to break this apart more, we wanted to bring an expert onto the show, and I'm always happy to have Nathan M. Greenfield join our program. He's a war historian. He's an author. He's a North American correspondent for University World News, and he's actually a professor of history at Kyiv University, and he joins us by phone from his office in Ottawa. Mr. Greenfield, thank you so much for taking our call.
No, thank you for having me again. It's my pleasure.
So how would you say this summit compares to previous U.S.-Russia summits in terms of location and tone and even just symbolism?
Well, I mean, if we compare it to those that took place during the Cold War, then, you know, this, as your words hastily prepared, don't even touch how hastily it was. I mean, those summits were, you know, months, if not years in the making. Where it's being held is a propaganda win for Putin. He's in the United States. He had not been allowed to come to any Western country. Yes, it's Alaska, and yes, it's far away from Washington, but it is part of the United States. It's a state. It's not even a territory. So it's a diplomatic coup for Putin to break out of the isolation that the West put him in after the full-scale invasion several years ago of Ukraine. It's from my point of view, nothing good can come out of this.
Nothing good can come out of this?
Yeah. I mean, you know, people have been declared it to Munich. When Chamberlain went to Munich, met with Hitler in late September of 1938 and divided up Czechoslovakia. Mm. At least that, historians recently have argued, bought England a year to build the radar stations that ultimately were essential to winning the Battle of Britain. Whether or not that was actually in Chamberlain's mind, we don't know, but we do know that during that year that happened. Russia does not follow treaties. Russia attacked Ukraine in 2022. It attacked Syria in 2015. It attacked Georgia in 2008. You can go down the list. Just Google it. In 1994, Russia was one of the signers of the Budapest Memorandum, which recognized Ukraine's independence and led to Ukraine handing over a third of the Soviet Union's nuclear bombs and missiles to Russia for destruction, and the destruction of all of the bombers that were based in Ukraine. And we know what happened after that.
So I'm curious, Nathan Greenfield is my guest, author, North American correspondent for University World News. Many people are suggesting that Alaska being the venue of this has symbolic importance, I should say, former Russian territory, Cold War military hub. You're saying it's more favorable for Russia than it is for the United States, for Ukraine, or the rest of the world.
Yes. The whole question, I mean, the Russians actually have stated, and in fact, Putin has said, that wherever Russian troops were, wherever Russians were, will one day again be Russia. Well, I mean, does that include Alaska? It was sold in 1867 by the Tsar. There were Russian settlements all the way down to San Francisco. So this is a symbolic win for Putin. He is stepping onto American territory, an American state, being welcomed with a handshake, if not a hug, we don't know yet, by the American president. And he is where the Russians claim that they can once again be, given their statements that wherever Russians trod will be Russian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect an invasion of Alaska, but I do think that this is a symbolic statement to his own people and his supporters elsewhere.
Nathan M. Greenfield is my guest. Reading all of the chatter on social media, there's a number of people that are saying, well, he's got a war crimes warrant out for him. Will he be arrested? The United States is not part of the ICC, so there's no obligation, and I say zero chance that there's a worry there for Putin and for the Russians that there's going to be execution of an arrest warrant.
No, of course not. In fact, today he was touring. This morning he was touring an omega-3 plant. That is to say, a plant which makes omega-3 vitamins and things like that. So we know he's out and about, and he's not going to be arrested. As you said, the U.S. is not party to the treaty, so in fact, the U.S. would have no legal right to arrest him if you took him by international law.
I'm curious to know your thoughts, Nathan, on Trump's strategy, which I realize is always a bit of a spinning target. But he did start off by saying this was going to be a listening exercise, but we also know in the last couple of days he's talked a little tougher, saying that there needs to be an end to this war. There will be consequences for Russia. What do you see coming out of this day from the United States standpoint?
I thought the 2 weeks of consequences ended last Friday. After Trump's favorite, we'll see in 2 weeks, he said that there would be the consequences. There have been none. I don't see, you know, a listening exercise. Listen to what? We know what Putin wants. He wants Ukraine. He said it. He's acted on it. He's declared war effectively. I mean, and he is waging war, more importantly. So there's nothing to listen to. Putin thinks he's winning. He has made advances on the ground recently, although today I saw that Ukraine hit a Russian installation well into Russia with drones last night. So there's nothing to listen to. Putin could end the war tomorrow if he wanted to end the war. He could end the war today if he wanted to end the war. Trump talks about changing of borders, of moving properties around. This is not Manhattan where you do a property swap. There are millions of people involved. There's fortifications. If the Russians would, if Ukraine were to pull back to a line that the Russians might find acceptable, they would have to give up their fortifications. It would then be Munich. It would be like Czechoslovakia giving up the fortifications of the Sudetenland. And it would make it so much easier the next time Putin wants to invade, which if we look at the clock, looks like about every 5 or 7 years.
Nathan Greenfield is my guest. Donald Trump has floated out. He would like to see a swift second meeting that would involve the Ukraine president, Zelensky. If that does materialize, do we not have to sit back and say Trump did something that maybe others have not been able to or would not have been able to do?
No. I don't really think so, because I wouldn't expect that anything would come out of that would be acceptable, because what Russia's demanding isn't acceptable. You know, it wants Ukraine. It wants the destruction of the Ukrainian state. Just getting people into a room sometimes is useful. But there were negotiations going back 2 years ago, maybe two and a half, in Turkey. That did lead to a prisoner exchange, a wounded exchange. But, you know, you don't need the American president to be involved in this. You need Russia to say, we're going to stop the war.
So here's a question, Nathan. I think about, we talk about the war that's happening in the Middle East, and we talk about how deeply entrenched ideologies are that run much deeper than just the leaders who happen to be running the country or the military. Is the same true in this case, or is this really hinging on Vladimir Putin? And so if you can find someone that can build a relationship and maybe even be persuasive through a personal relationship with the Russian president, is there a chance that you can achieve success?
I think that, you know, there's an old saying in Russia that even Russian liberals, that for Russian liberals, liberalism ends when talking about Ukraine. There is a historical claim that Russians have, don't mean that to mean it's a correct claim, but they claim that Ukraine is theirs. Another leader have gone to war? That's an open question. I mean, Yeltsin wouldn't have, we know that, because he didn't. Putin does not speak English. Trump does not speak Russian. They do not have a common language in German, which Putin speaks. So there's no, this whole idea of personal relationship. Remember Margaret Thatcher met Putin when he first came on the scene and said, President Bush, I've looked into his eyes and I've seen his soul. And I think Thatcher said, he's a man we can do business with. They were both wrong. Putin was, is, and will always be a traditional Russian autocrat. And that means that it's important to try to get back the parts of, so what were the Soviet Union, that were also great Russia, that is to say Ukraine, and then Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. I mean, you're looking here at a question of NATO. Putin's not going to be satisfied with 20% of Ukraine. You know, what? Where in military diplomatic history has that actually happened?
Nathan M. Greenfield is my guest, North American correspondent for University World News. He's also a history professor at Kyiv University in Ukraine. Is there likely to be resolution in this war in the foreseeable future?
I mean, Ukraine has improved its ability to strike deep into Russia. We've seen that. It has, destroyed a third, if not half, of its strategic bomber fleet. Russia has, of course, the manpower, because it's a larger state, and it's willing to use prisoners, and it also has North Korean soldiers, 14,000, the last time, the number I saw, willing to put them in the meat grinder. Europe supplies Ukraine and Canada supplies Ukraine with the munitions needed to fight the war on the battlefield and in the air, then can you hope for exhaustion of Russia? Probably not. They'll take the Russian people will take casualties, that are no democratic country could. Could we be looking at a collapse of the Russian economy? That's probably your best hope. The solutions, but once again, there's an easy solution. Putin can say, I was wrong. Or he can come up with some other thing to tell his people, and stop the war. Russia invaded a sovereign country that was no threat to it. That is not, when Trump talks, he says, when Ukraine started the war, where was that? When was that? Point to the moment. It didn't happen.
Nathan, we're going to leave the conversation there. Appreciate you giving us some time today. Thanks for your perspective on this meeting. And of course, we'll continue to watch to see what unfolds from the talks today. Thanks, Nathan.
Thank you very much for having me.
Nathan M. Greenfield, who is a war historian. We've had him on the program before. I tend to be a person that feels like this is better than nothing. How many people, this is me giving Trump credit. How many people have been successful at getting Putin to sit down and at least have a conversation? So I have no idea what's going to come of this meeting today, but I have to think and I have to hold out hope that there is at least this is a step towards something. There's a long way to go. There's a lot of history here. There's strong personalities. There's all of that stuff. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. It's going to be a sunny day today. Not super warm, mid-teens, I think, for a high for most of the province, but sunshine nonetheless as we head into, as I've mentioned a couple of times, a very busy weekend. We're going to highlight that on the show throughout the day. Different guests in. In fact, we've got the founding member of 5440 on the show a little bit later today. That, of course, part of the excitement that is happening. Rock the River this weekend, Dragon Boat Festival in Regina, of course, Rider Game, lots going on. Okay, if you want a tutorial hosted by Evan Bray on how to get people angry, go on the radio and say that you like something Donald Trump is doing. There's a few people that are frustrated with me. Listen, I want peace between Russia and Ukraine. I'd love both of those sides just to go back to living their lives. Certainly, I would say the world should want that. We have not seen leaders successful in being able to sit down one-on-one with Vladimir Putin and talk about this with a goal in mind of ending the war. Trump is trying to do it. So, yes, I know people are listing for me all of the bad things about Donald Trump and they don't like. My point is, Trump is doing something that I haven't seen a Canadian leader do. This is at least a step. So let's see what unfolds. We're going to be watching this. We should hear by, I think, shortly after lunch today, our time, we should hear how the meeting went. And then we'll judge from there. Will there be a second meeting? Will they get the president of Ukraine then to sit down with them? Zelensky, Putin, and Trump in a room together. And what will that mean? 1-877-332-8255. Hey, listen, you can be mad at me. That's okay. That's what this is all about. And I know we'll go back to being friends after. I do want to go to the text line and maybe even just open up the phones for a quick chat about this. Do you see today's meeting as a positive step? 1-877-332-8255. A few of your thoughts when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.